Hi there, everyone. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Hey. Ever try to tell somebody you love them? Did you ever try to communicate it? Did you ever try to get the words to come out of your mouth to say, I want to tell you what I feel? What is it about communicating feelings that is so difficult? Well, I think I found something. It really is important. I mean, people say to each other, I want to communicate my feelings to you. I want you to tell me what you feel. What does that mean? Tell me what you feel. Does that mean tell me what you think? Does it mean tell me what you perceive? Does it mean tell me what you have going on inside your gut? What does feeling mean? What does it mean? It turns out that most couples try to communicate with each other, and they think that they need communication about their feelings. And so they get trained in how to communicate their feelings. How do you communicate a feeling, okay? So what is a real, let's talk about what a feeling is. Let's say by definition itself, a feeling should be something you feel. Doesn't that make sense? It should have an organic sense to it. It should have a physical part to it. I feel anxious. Okay, I can feel that electricity. I feel sad. Well, sad kind of, I could feel this kind of sallow feeling, you know. I feel angry, me tense all over, you know. There's some body sensation to it. I feel like going for a walk. Well, that's not so much a feeling. That's like an impulse. That's what you want to do. So anyway, what's important about this anyway? Who cares what you feel? Do you really care what the other person feels? Think about this. Your son comes home after a day of school. Do you want to know what he's feeling? Do you? You just want to know what he's doing, right? Well, go do whatever you got to do. You want to know if he's okay. Do you want to know if he's happy? Well, do you want to know if he's okay enough to be happy so that you don't have to be bothered? Your husband comes home after a day of work. Do you want to know what he feels? Do you want him to sit down and talk to you about the day? Or do you want to talk to him about what you feel? Now, there gets an interesting idea, right? So maybe the reason that we want communications is because we want to tell other people what we feel, but we don't care what they feel. Very possibly. You may care what they feel if you want to control them. I know men, people, who always want to control the other person's feelings. And they say things like, you shouldn't feel that. Don't feel sad. You know, I mean, why would you tell somebody don't feel sad if they feel sad? Don't get angry. You're controlling what they feel. There are people who lie and steal and connive, and they don't want their partners to feel things. Like if a man is walking down the street and he admires somebody else who's walking down the street, let's say he admires a woman, he doesn't want his wife to feel jealous. So he makes believe he's not looking. Because he wants to control her feeling. See, why doesn't he want his wife to feel jealous? What if she does get jealous? Why does he have to control it? Why doesn't he just let the feelings be what they are? Well, there's more stories to this, my friends. Feelings are not pure things. There is no such thing as one feeling. You know, is this sad? I'm sad. And that's the only feeling I have? No, I'm sad and I'm also angry. Okay, I could have both feelings, right? Shall I call it sanger? Sad and anger together? That's a good word. I'm sangry. That makes sense. I could have a whole combination of things. I'm curious. I could have a whole bunch of different things going on inside me. So why do I bring this up to you today? I bring this up to you today because there is such an importance or people feel such an importance to communicate their feelings that I'm trying to figure out what is it they're trying to get to understand with each other. They are trying to get to understand something. They want a level. They want a place to go to with each other where they feel safe. If I understand what you feel, then I will feel safe. If I don't know what you feel, then I'm not sure. So the need to have you communicate your feelings to me is frequently my need to make sure I'm safe. Does that make sense? Tell me I'm safe. What are you feeling? Tell me I'm safe. Tell me you're not mad at me. Tell me you're okay with me. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. There's many elements to this feeling, and we're going to be taking your calls about this today, too. But I learned something. I found that people trying to communicate what they feel is very difficult because sometimes people communicate and they just talk. And the way they talk is such a way that there is no communication. They just say these words, you know. And you guys, I went to the store and I saw Tony, and Tony was doing this, and then just words and words and words. What does that do for you? So now we have to go into some chemical history. It turns out that if a person who has a variable serotonin, which usually means somebody, a woman, who has serotonin that moves easily, if they talk for 20 minutes, they get a rise in their serotonin. In other words, why be on the phone? You know, the typical husband who's saying, what is my wife doing on the phone talking to her sister for a half hour? What do they talk about? See, they don't talk about anything. It doesn't matter. No matter what they talk about, as long as they're talking, it raises the serotonin. Now, here's another funny thing. Did you ever talk to yourself? Sometimes that does it too. That's why people talk to themselves. People talk to themselves for the very same exercise of trying to activate their own serotonin to feel better. People talk to themselves. And you can talk to the cat too. You could talk to the person who does your nails even if they don't speak English. Right? They're doing your nails and you're talking to them and they don't care. They know. They know that it's good for you to talk. If you go for a massage in a place where people don't speak English, you could talk to the masseuse or masseur, and they'll just nod their heads because they know if you talk, you're going to feel better. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Weird thing about men don't get that. Women seem to get it. Men don't get it. Men don't get an increase in serotonin by talking. In fact, they get a decrease in serotonin by talking. So now this is very interesting, right? Now you put a man and a woman together, and then she says, talk to me. And he's going to get more depressed as he talks, and she's going to feel better as she talks. So what do you think he should do? He should listen. Therefore, he winds up listening, and she winds up talking, and she feels better, and he just stays about the same. So we're in this very funny place, my friends. Communication. I think it's impossible to communicate what you feel. I really think nobody cares anyway. I think people don't really care. I think what they really care about are other elements related to it. Oh, I care, of course, what you feel. But most people don't. Most people are egocentric. Most people care about themselves. Most people want you to take care of them. They don't really care. What did you do today? What was your day like? How are you today? How are you? Tell me, please. Part of what I think is a problem, this is Armand DeMille with you, it's a Positive Mind, by the way. Part of what I think is a problem, my friends, is that it's not about communication as much as it is translation. You know, translation is really what it's about. You're translating a physical felt sense into some language in an attempt that the other person will know where you are. And in the translation, as I'm trying to translate my feeling to you, here's what happens. If I communicate to you who I am and what I feel, and you communicate to me who you are and what you feel, then we'll feel safer with each other. And we'll bond. But then, of course, there are people who have no idea what they feel. There are people who are always saying, I guess, maybe. Maybe what I'm feeling, I guess, and they're all making it up in theory. There are other people who feel too much. They're always outraged or screaming or angry. You know, people who always get angry. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're going to be taking your calls all day today because tomorrow we have, what do we do tomorrow? Tomorrow we have a special fundraising event at WBAI, so the programming will not allow for your phone calls. So I want to get your calls. And yesterday I had a guest on the air. Today I want to talk to you people about your communicating and what you feel and being able to communicate what you feel. 212-209-2900. I'm going to spend most of today speaking mostly to you, the callers, about communication. 212-209-2900. In fact, let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Well, there'll be one in a minute, I know for sure. You didn't think I'd start so soon, huh? 212-209-2900. One of the great difficulties about being able to hear what somebody has to say is that very often you could feel like you expose yourself. Now, I know, for example, let's say you were saying to somebody what you felt. As you do it, you become more vulnerable. As you do it, you become more vulnerable. And you become more vulnerable because you can't communicate to the other person. You can't, as you're trying to talk to them, you can't get to them what you need. Oops, just one second here. Hold on a second. I got a little engineering glitch. I will be right back with you, my friend. Stay here. I'll be right back, Michael. Okay, hi. 212-209-2900. Let's take a call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Yeah, hi.
Hi there.
Thank you so much for your show, first of all. excuse me. I've listened to you so many times, and I greatly appreciate you, and you've helped me so much. So thank you. I'm talking on a cell phone. I don't know if I'm on the air.
Yeah, I could hear you clearly.
Okay, great.
What's your name?
My name is Bill.
Hello, Bill.
It's not really, but that's what I'm going to say.
Because, Bill, you don't want people to know who you are?
Well, someone might be listening.
And they might know something about you you don't want them to know?
Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Because there's something that you may say that might hurt someone's feelings.
That's
so you want to control people's feelings. That's what I was saying before, right?
Sometimes I do, yeah. I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I definitely have control issues. No
sure,
doubt.
So the control issue here is I don't want somebody to hear something that would make them feel bad. Right? Even if it's the truth.
Well, sometimes, yeah, sometimes.
I understand.
I've had a friend for about 10 years, and the friend is older than me, and he frequently acts out, and I've come to accept him. That he acts out that way and not try to change him. But yesterday, he came down on me pretty hard about something I said to him. See, we're always joking, he and I. I said something that hurt his feelings, and so I apologized for it, you know. And that was yesterday, and I find myself feeling, today, I feel beat up emotionally.
Right.
I feel like he's got a double standard and, like, it's okay if he acts out, but when I do it, you know, he comes down on me like a brick.
What does the word acts out mean?
Express anger inappropriately, and it could possibly hurt someone's feelings.
You mean your feelings? He got angry at you?
Yeah.
So he got angry at you, and you call that acting out. And he got angry at you, and it hurt you.
Yeah.
And you feel devastated by it.
But the thing is, he told me that something I said hurt him, and so I heard that, and I did apologize to him because I know it hurt him. He said he had trouble sleeping the night before, so
So the trouble is, between the two of you, you don't have an agreement of real communication because you joke a lot. And when you, generally when you joke a lot, it means let's stay on the surface at all times. You see, you're saying don't get down with me. Don't get too serious with me. Don't love me. Don't touch me. Stay at a distance.
Well, that's not completely true because I did apologize to him, and I grabbed him and I hugged him and I said, "Look, you know, you're my friend, and the last thing I want to do is want to hurt you." And he also, you know, we do, you know, we're not so superficial as you might think or describe, because we both attend 12-step programs where we do talk about our feelings.
Okay, may I ask you this part? Is he your lover? Is he your lover as well?
Oh no. No, I'm heterosexual.
Okay, so he's just a good friend.
Yeah. And what you said at the beginning of your program, I was thinking about calling you up and saying, Armand DeMille, I love you. And I was thinking how hard that would be to do that. But I do love you. Thank you.
Wait, don't run away.
I'm not running away.
That's what everybody does.
Yeah, I want to, I know, because I grew up in a crazy, violent, alcoholic family, and I'm recovering from that one day at a time.
Well, I thank you, and I thank you for taking the courage to make this call today.
Well, you're very welcome.
You're a precious man, and your friend will get over it, and will get to value you, I'm sure.
I'm laughing because I'm concerned about me getting over it. I'm also narcissistic, like the people you described, that I want to call up and say, it's your turn to talk now. You talk about me and tell me how much you like me.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just send him a copy of the program today?
That's a good idea.
Just send it over. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you, sir. Sure. Bye-bye now.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
I listen to your show a lot whenever I get a chance. But I was just calling because you mentioned the word feelings and communication. And I work around people in a hospital. And one woman, she happens to be a little close to me. And she came over and she expressed about, you know, why she was there. And you know, she had an alcohol problem. And she said that her family never asked her how she felt. So I often think about her situation at times, and it's true. Sometimes your family members never stop to ask, well, you know, how are you feeling today?
It's so much more common. What's your name?
My name is Sandra.
Sandra, it's so much more common than you know. People and families don't ask people how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. It's so unusual. Did your parents ask you how you were feeling?
I had a single mom, and I didn't have a father.
And what?
I didn't have a father.
Yeah, but did your mom ask you how you were feeling, or was she
just... I don't think so.
She was just trying to get by, right? She was just trying to see, what could I do to keep this kid alive, you know?
Right, and when you said something before, like, you'll ask if your son comes home after school, and you'll just say, are you okay, just to get, you know... To
check in, right.
Yeah, just, you know, check in, but not to really stop and, you know, take the time to see how he is.
Did you ever wonder about your dad?
Yeah, I met with him.
Did he care about you?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
think. What was that like?
Well, I never really met him. I took the time to meet with him. And when he did meet me, it was like, oh, when are you going to send me the trip to come to live in the United States?
Mm.
So I just walked away.
And you felt a hollowness inside you.
Well, I had a great grandmother, and I had a lot of aunts and uncles. So I was never really, that gap really never really, I mean, I guess it bothers me, but I never really stopped and thought about it because he was never too part of my life.
Sure. Many of us live like orphans. Many of us live like, you know, we don't have a parent and we get through. Sometimes you get so used to it, you just don't even go there after a while.
Right.
But how did you wind up so beautiful? I mean, how did you wind up to be such a soft, tender person with that kind of a background?
Oh, thank you.
No, really, really. Where did all this nurturing? Your grandma, huh?
Yeah.
What about your grandma? Tell me.
Yeah, my grandma, she was just a beautiful person, a very giving person, always gave, you know.
Gave what?
Just gave her time, her patience, and you know, she was just very nourishing.
Nourishing lady.
Yes, yes.
You remember her well?
Yes.
When did she die?
She passed away in 1974. She died in the earthquake.
Oh, which one?
In Guatemala.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's another thing, you know. I'll always remember her the way she was, because I didn't see her, you know, pass on.
You stay with me for a minute.
In church on Sunday morning, Grandma's hand played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass.
When you think about Grandma, does it bring stuff to your heart?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And that's why I say I work around people. I work long-term care. And I'm always, you know, when I see an elderly person, I'm very affectionate towards them.
You're beautiful. We need you on this planet.
Oh, thank you.
Hang out with us, you know.
I was just calling because the one question that dawned on me was that, you know, you kids as well. I mean, I have a beautiful son, but he could also be very, like the gentleman was talking, I thought he was talking about his son, but apparently he was talking about a male friend, that they become very, you know, explosive just for nothing.
Explosive for nothing. How old is your son?
16.
16 explosive is like this kind
explosive
of...
Explosive means like he's going through a lot, and I understand. And he would just, like, last night he got really mad because I took his iPod away.
He got mad because of what?
I took the iPod away.
And why did you take it away?
Because he had to do homework.
I understand. Yeah. So I would imagine that any young adolescent growing up would want to ascertain where is the power. And he wants to know where the power is, so he challenges you.
Right.
He challenges you for power until he realizes that the power that he gets is not the power from beating you, that the power he gets is inside himself. In the meantime, what young adolescents always do is they challenge the authorities. Mm-hmm. And they see, how angry are you going to let me get? Do you ever feel like smacking them?
I don't think I ever...
You ever feel like it? I'm not saying you should do it. What?
Probably, but I wouldn't.
But you wouldn't, right? And he doesn't get you to that point. The reason I ask that question is children... Oh, I think we lost you. But children very often will push a parent to the point where the parent feels this moment of violence. And they do it as a way of punishing the parent because the parent's not going to hit them. So now you feel bad for wanting to hit them. And they get you right up to that point. I know children who love to torture their parents. Love to just push them right up to the edge. Just testing their limits. Armand DeMille, we've got to get going. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. Hi there.
Hi.
I hear you.
Yeah, my name is Aisha. And
Aisha.
How you doing, Armand?
Good. Nice to hear your voice.
You have a phenomenal, phenomenal show to really examine ourselves and our relationship with others. So thank you so much.
Sure.
I'm in a 15-year relationship with a divorcee, and he was a loner, and I was the oldest of a dysfunctional family, alcoholism, battered women, and all that stuff. And he communicated with others different than the way he communicated with me.
How do you know that?
How do I know that? Because evidently, in our marriage, we argued more than we just communicated. So the way I perceive what he was trying to make me understand is that I didn't understand him.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And what happened was, him being a little bit younger than me, me being more responsible than him, I would, not to hurt his feelings, I would hear what he's saying, but I would perceive it the way that I think it to just keep the peace. not to hurt his ego or his feelings.
So you want to shape his feelings. It's a nice thing to do. You know, you have a man, you don't want to hurt his ego, you want to shape him. You want to control him, you want to turn him into something that, you know, makes it safe for you. And this makes the world safer for you. Do you understand? By your doing that for him, you wind up safer. You wind up more relaxed. It's an act of greed, and I agree with it.
But what happened was, now I have a son that's 18, and the marriage is over, and he decided to communicate with the woman outside of the marriage.
Who decided to? You're 18?
The husband.
The husband?
The husband.
Your husband?
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm missing something in pronouns. You have an 18-year-old son.
Right.
He decided, your husband, you're still not married.
No, I just recently divorced, and he communicated with a woman outside of the marriage, and the son, who's 18, getting ready to leave for college, is like, well, now that the man isn't here and you had a breakdown in that communication, now I have a problem with you as well.
Oh, your son has a problem with you, too?
Yeah.
Okay, what your son is doing is he's missing his father. He's angry at his father. He doesn't know how to...
That wasn't his father. That was his stepfather who helped raise him since he was three.
Did he like it? Did he like his stepfather?
I really don't think he did.
Mm-hmm.
I think because he was immature and not responsible to me, that was some type of manhood thing between them.
Yeah, I hear you. But, you know, when things change like this, there's a transition, there's a little period of time that you're going to go through. How do you feel towards your son?
Well, I love my son.
Say that again.
I love my son, and I don't want...
Okay, now wait. Do me one more favor. Would you say that one more time?
Well, I just love my son.
Yeah, and stop there for a minute. Now, we know this about you, right?
Yeah.
And we know that more than anything else, that no matter what happens from this point on, you love your son. And whatever it is that's going to happen from here on in, you and your love is going to be able to get him through whatever he has to go through during this transition. And it has nothing to do with the other woman. It just has to do with the transition. Your love is going to come through it.
Yeah, but my husband betrayed me.
Yeah, of course.
To somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And now that relationship is over, and I just don't want to lose a relationship with my son.
Yeah, you're not going to lose it. You're not going to lose it as much as you stay in touch with your heart. And you know, you could even tell your son the same thing. Son, I don't want to lose you.
I do, but I feel so betrayed because they say I don't know how to communicate. And this is why he stepped out of the marriage, and it's easier to talk to a stranger than it is to talk to me, you know?
Yeah, everybody blames everybody for something. But I wouldn't put too much stake in that. You're a pretty good communicator. The marriage just didn't work. It's all right. It's okay for marriages not to work.
But is there something wrong with me, the way I communicate or the way I perceive?
Well, you sounded perfect to me so far. Nothing I heard that I would say there's something wrong, you know? And you're very clear and very direct. So I have no problem with the way you talk at all.
But is it something pertaining to me with communicating with men? Because
nah. Nah, you're fine. You just need to be loved. You just need somebody who cares about you. I understand you feel broken,
yeah.
And you feel like damaged, and there's something wrong with you. Nah, you're a beautiful lady.
Thank you, Papa.
Sure.
You're a wonderful man, too. And
thank
you really
you.
Listen to people, what's really going on with them inside.
Yeah. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, a little music, and we'll continue with your phone calls. Pretty amazing. Yes, that's the Yellow Dog Blues that you heard. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Yes, damaged in communication. Damaged. I don't know how to communicate. What a silly thing. So many men come in. And they say that to me. They say, my wife tells me I can't communicate my feelings. So here's the problem. It's not a matter of communication. It's a matter of translation. How do you translate what that thing that goes on inside you to somebody else? What if you were speaking Polish, right? And you have an emotion that's an English emotion. I mean, how do you communicate it? How do you get it out there to somebody? I think communication is really maybe not what it's about. It's really about trying to get another person to be in a place with you where you both feel safer communicating with each other, just knowing that they're there. It's always good to hear the grumps, you know, chimps in a cave, you know, those noises, they're good, they make you feel nice. Noises around each other, grunts, it doesn't matter what you say. Sometimes I don't think people really care about what they're talking about. They just want to grump a little bit, they want to hear the other person, they want to bounce off it. So the content of communication is very questionable. Because people lie all the time. They want to say one thing and then they say another thing. You want to say to somebody, I love you. And as the words come out of your mouth, some part of you says, watch out, watch out. He's not going to love you back. Watch out, watch out. He's going to think you're a fool. So instead you say, I really appreciate you. Not our callers, though. Our callers, they love us. We love them. Easy words for us. 212-209-2900. Let's take another one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a problem of communication.
What's your name?
Maria.
Maria. Hello, Maria. Maria from New Jersey?
No, Brooklyn.
Maria from Brooklyn. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Maria, tell me what your problem of communication is.
I think it's I can't take it out. It's in here. It's inside.
Sure.
It is hard. And
you feel it right now?
Oh yes, terrible,
right now,
terrible. I have like 4 months with this. My father. Died in December.
Oh, my gosh.
But I don't think so. That was not my problem because I never have.
You never had your father?
Feelings for him.
Mm-hmm.
Good feelings because he was not good with my mother.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So you have feelings about his dying?
No, even that.
Oh, you don't want to give him that?
No.
You refuse to feel anything for him?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell him that. Say, I refuse to feel anything for you.
I refuse.
Say, I'd rather go numb. I'd rather go dead.
Yes.
I'd rather be dead than show you that I cared about you.
That's right.
Oh, good way to punish him. I like that.
But I think my problem was...
But wait a minute. Maria.
Yes.
You know what I want you to say?
Yes.
I want you to say, the hell with you. Say that.
The hell with you.
I want you to say that to your father and say it out loud. The hell with you. I'm not going to die just for you.
Yeah, the hell with you.
Yeah. I'm not going to die just for you. Yeah. I'm going to stay alive. You die.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're dead. You didn't treat my mother right.
Yeah. But I think this affects too much in my relation with my husband.
Sure.
Because I have 30 years. Tomorrow is going to be 31 years of my anniversary with my husband. But like 3 weeks before my father died, I have an argument with him. And I feel like it hurt me too much. It hurt, I think it was physical. I think the liver, it was with problems in my stomach and all the stuff. So I had to go to the doctor and all the stuff.
Sure.
But during this week's, the argument came with more problems.
Mm-hmm.
And
so the arguments at this point have an energy of their own, Maria, you know? Now, at this point, you're not arguing about anything anymore. Now you're just talking about things and you're making stuff up. 31 years with this guy. Is he worth keeping, or do you want to get rid of him and find somebody younger?
I'm sorry?
Is he worth keeping, or do you want to get rid of him?
No. It's the best of my life.
You want to keep him?
Yes.
So, what's his name?
Orlando.
Orlando. If Orlando is listening now.
Yes.
What do you want to say to him on your 31st year of your anniversary?
That when I marry him, I say until death.
Yeah, but you want to say, tell Orlando what you feel towards him, 31 years. The hell with death. Death we have, you know? How about you want to say I like you?
I think my problem is what my father left me.
Yeah.
And I want to explain him.
Sure.
That it hurts too much. Because now I think I put in my problem of my father with him.
Sure. People do that a lot. But
and
you know,
I don't want to do that.
Of course. But you see, the very fact that you're thinking about this and you see it stops it. This is the beginning of stopping. And so now I need you to say, I love you, Orlando.
I love you, Orlando, but I feel like the floor, it's not on me, you know?
I understand.
I went down too much.
Sure, so come on, Maria, get in and see me. Come on over, give a call to my office. Let's pick you up out of the floor. Let's get you out of the grave. You went into the grave with your father. We have to get you out of there.
Yeah.
You know? So you give a call tomorrow. We're going to be offering a special here on WBAI where you'll get an opportunity to take advantage of something that will cost you very little money, and you'll get a chance to meet with me, and we'll bury your father.
Thank you.
How do you like this idea?
I love it. I love it.
Call tomorrow. So tomorrow, we're going to be announcing this little premium we're going to do for one day. Then you and I will meet, we'll bury your father, and we'll celebrate your husband, and we'll have a 31st anniversary.
I love it. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you for your time.
Sure. You stay with us. Make sure to tune in tomorrow. 212-209-2900. What people? Yes, that happens. Confusion, man. Between your father and... You know, here's another thing that happens. Very often, as women get older, they become more masculine. Because what happens is there's a testosterone-progesterone balance that you have. Now, you don't become more masculine. You just become... You lose a little of the female hormone, and that puts the male hormone a little higher in balance. So women, as they get older, you know, they get a little more masculine. And the men, they become more feminine. you know? Men actually begin, you know, taking more estrogen, and they become a little more feminine. And so you get this role reversal. And another thing, so this thing happens as you get older. People together 31 years have switched roles. In Maria's case, she's probably at this point the husband. And her husband is probably the wife. And we have to fix it. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Armando.
Hello.
I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it, my brother. You
well, then
beautiful.
I won't do anything about
this
it.
This is Brother Stefan Omar calling from West Harlem area. I'm fine. I have a very, very good buddy of mine who got himself in trouble last year. And he has three young sons. One's four, the other one turned seven, the other one is 10 years old. And he was very, very, very close to his sons, very close to them. And now they're starting to feel the, because he's no longer in their, well, he's temporarily in their lives when they can go visit him, but they are, especially a 10-year-old, is very distant towards his father, and that sort of hurts. A lot, I'll put it that way.
Hurts who?
The father.
Okay.
Okay.
So, wait, let's get this. He feels hurt by the distance of his son?
Yeah, his oldest boy.
Yeah, his oldest boy has kind of separated himself out. I'm not going to be you.
Exactly.
Is what he said. I'm going to be myself.
Exactly.
Okay, and he's hurt by that because he says, no, wait a minute, don't pull away from me. You could be yourself, but don't pull away from me because I need you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then, you know, the oldest boy, he has three boys, and the oldest one is always, for some reason, your favorite, or, you know, the one that's the prodigal.
Sure, and the one who takes on the role of the older son, yes.
Exactly. So I'm, like, not caught in the middle, but I try to look after them as best I can. I'm no spring chicken anymore. I'm going on 1,000. But the bottom line is that I do try and stay in their lives, especially for my good buddy.
Mm-hmm, sure.
What would your suggestion be? You're a very learned man.
I would say to him, you don't worry about your son. You let him go.
Let him go?
Let him go, yes.
Okay.
Let him go because he's going to go around the block and he's going to come home.
Okay.
Because very often when you try to stop somebody from leaving, that's when they have to fight the furthest to get away from you. Just let them go.
Well, this particular gentleman is, like I said, he's temporarily in their lives, but the oldest boy, the oldest boy lives in another state.
Mm-hmm.
I should mention that also.
Sure.
So he's living with his mother in another state, and he doesn't sort of respond to his father's been writing him and trying
sure,
to
that's exactly
him.
What I mean. Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. Take the pressure off. Somebody taught me a trick about love once. It was a very interesting thing. You have a couple, and let's say we're talking about fidelity, you know. So the woman says, I want you to be faithful to me and always faithful to me. And the husband says, of course I'll be faithful to you. I would always be faithful. And then she gets jealous every time he looks at another woman. And he swears to be jealous. But she becomes the possessor of the fidelity. Now, this is important because what happens in these cases, when one person becomes responsible for holding everything together, the other person automatically gives up trying to do it. Because
Say that again?
When one person puts too much energy into holding things together,
Yes. The
other person gives up any energy trying to do it.
Okay.
So when you let it go. See how far it's going to go. It can't go very far, you know.
Well, I know one thing. On a positive note, there's a lot of love there.
That's right.
There's a lot of love, and then love has a very disturbing feeling. It's very disturbing because especially when there's distance. And I've learned in my time on this planet that I have a saying. It's all a buck or two, and I love you.
Yeah.
You know. In other words, let it go. It's a buck or two, and I love you. Okay, my brother, I'll let you go. And
thank you so much
so
for calling
much.
Me.
And once again, keep up the good work. You're the greatest.
Thank you. 212-209-2900. So I was mentioning tomorrow we have a special on WBAI, a one-day premium offer. where if you guys miss the opportunity to get a chance to meet me, you know, we're going to make one offer tomorrow just because we got to raise some quick money for the station, as you know, the station I love. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm on.
Hi there.
Hi. I admire you very much. I listen to you whenever I can. And I first was calling to let you know that I realize and I know that I have, like, anger feeling problems. And now that I was listening to all these other people, it just seems like I have a lot of other feeling problems. I don't know.
You mean a lot of feelings come up when you listen to people open their heart? Because it opens a bridge to your own heart. You know what I mean? It just opens the door. Do you know people hang up this station because of my program? They don't want to listen because they cry. Because they hear it and they say, oh, I don't want to get upset. Let them talk about something else, you know?
Yeah.
It opens the door. I mean, we're listening to a program of open hearts. We're listening to people be honest. There is not a single person who's called who is a phony, who is grandstanding.
Right.
These are all beautiful people, and you're one of us. You're part of this.
I just feel really bad because I have 4 children, and I just feel like I'm always mad at them.
Yeah, sure, you always feel angry at them, of course.
And 2 of them are older.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like I kind of lost it with them. Like, in other words, like, one's 18, one's 17, and it's like there's no going back. And I have 2 little ones, and I want to make it better for them. And then I feel guilty because it's like it was not fair to the oldest because now, you know, their young time has passed. I'm a mess.
You're a beautiful mess. I wouldn't worry about it if I were you. First of all, you're 17 and you're 18-year-old. They're going to band together, and they're going to say, Mama, she's crazy, but we love her.
Do they say I'm crazy?
That's what they'll say. They'll say, she's crazy, but I love her. And that's okay. Because you say I'm crazy. That's right. So they say, you're crazy, but I love her. And your 2 younger children, they get all the goodies because they deserve it because they're the younger ones anyway. And that's the way the world works. And you're a fine person. You're a fine person. You'd defend them to the death.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Of course you would. Of course you would.
But then sometimes I feel like I'm the worst enemy. Sometimes.
Yeah, I know, because you yell a lot, right?
Oh, I do.
You scream and you yell and you holler and you get angry. Nobody takes you seriously. Don't worry about it. They don't take you seriously.
Well,
no matter what you're screaming about, they won't believe you.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. 212-209-2900. That's what I love about love. One of the beauties about love, when you love somebody, you stop taking them seriously. You know, you would think that loving somebody is taking them seriously. No, it's the opposite of that. Loving somebody is not taking them seriously. Those dramas, they're so foolish. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hello.
Hi, this is Nina. How you feeling?
Hello, Nina. I'm feeling good.
Okay, cool. So I've been listening to your show for a while, and I'm glad I got through. Here's my deal. I am the daughter of an Orthodox Jewish family, and I married a black man. And my parents completely disowned me. So, that's the short version.
Yeah, okay.
I never really expected them to go through with it. But I recently got a letter from them, you know, laying out the law. Don't contact us. You're not ours.
Sure.
So
stupid,
I thought I'd call today because you're talking about communication. And, you know, here I have a wall.
Yeah.
It's pretty difficult for me.
I know. They do this thing, you know. It's a stupid thing. It's the lowest level of communication on one level. It's like herds. It's like tribes, you know. Nobody talked to her. It's like they do in the Amish country, you know. You're dead now. You don't exist. You know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
My mom actually said to me before I got married, I consider you to have like a terminal illness. If you go through with this, you're dead to me.
Yeah, it's stupid. So, in other words, these words that your mother said, she's saying, I am offended because you make me look bad. That's all she cares about. You made her look bad. Made her look bad in her community, made her look bad among her relatives. You're giving her a lot of sympathy. Everybody's going to feel bad for her because now she has a daughter who's acting out. It's not about you. It's about her.
Well, I recognize that, and I guess I wonder if, am I supposed to just, I heard you say earlier that you just need to let go and wait, and someone's going to come back around the corner.
Absolutely.
Actually, my mom lives very close.
Actually, don't wait for your mom to come back. Reject her. Send her a letter telling her you're no longer my mother. I disown you as my mother. I'm going to find another mother. That's a good idea. I like that one better. Why should you be on the receiving end? Tell her, okay, you disown me, I disown you. And you go find yourself a good friend who will be a better mother to you than anybody would.
Well, I definitely have a beautiful network of friends and mom-like people. And
they're a lot better off than your mom.
So I'm starting my own family, which is why I'm not totally torn apart about it.
That's right.
But
so
I
don't
like
just
that.
Stay on the receiving end. Yeah, reject your mom. You want to reject me? I'll reject you. Sure. I disown you. Send her a formal letter.
And then what? Because really, my mom, we used to have the kind of relationship where we would have a five-minute hug.
A few years from now, the two of you are going to sit down, and you're going to look at each other, and you're going to think you're both being silly, and you'll smile. In the meantime, her ego will have to go through the repair that it needs, you know, because you made it look bad to her community.
Yeah. Isn't that sad? That it's,
of course.
You know, religion before, you know, now that I just became a mom, I know what it feels like to go through that process, and it's so special and sacred, and then, you know, someone from the outside, you know, is telling her, oh, this is not good. Your daughter did something against the religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then how...
Religion,
you know,
religion.
I can't get past that.
I know, but, you know, people blow each other up, too. I mean, religion is just funny, as we know. So we can't say it's just a person on the outside. People who kind of go in that direction, they all get funny. It's not... Love seems to be nowhere around. So my answer to life, my friends, I have to get going, I'm sorry to say. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. But my answer to life is the following. If it's not nice, it's wacky. Yep, you can put that on your wall. If somebody's not nice, then they're being wacky. Your mother's being wacky. It's just, it's nuts. She's not being nice. When I say nuts, I don't mean psychotic or crazy. I just mean wacky. I just mean you're not in your right mind, because your right mind is about love. Your right mind is about what we could give to each other, or how we could feel towards each other, what we could share. Not this garbage that people call communication. Issues. Problems. Hey, I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends. This is Armand DeMille. If you want to hear this program, you can go to WBAI.org or to thepositivemind.com or send me an email, Armand@thepositivemind.com. Here's a little John Coltrane.